This is Deanna Spingola. It is Monday, September 24th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is John Friend. His website is johnfriendsblog.blogspot.com. Welcome to the program, John.
Hey, Deanna, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on the program. So you have been writing a lot about 9/11, and of course that really is what piqued your interest in research, and you spent a lot of time researching. And I was particularly interested in the article that you did on 9/11 called 9/11 Trauma-Based Mind Control on a Societal Scale, because I do believe that that was a psyops. It was a time when they could hypnotize the entire population and actually had everything shut down. Everything was shut down. The restaurants were closed. Everything was shut down. Everybody was home. It was a perfect opportunity to do a little bit of brainwashing, heavy-duty brainwashing.
Yeah, you are exactly right. And this is something that, you know, a conclusion that I've come to, you know, somewhat recently, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it was totally a mind control operation. And somebody put it, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dennis Fetcho. He's a guy who runs
Oracle
Broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I've been on his program.
Yeah, he basically described 9/11 as a sort of Kabbalistic spell, and I think that's a really good way to put it. And what I've discovered is that there's basically two ways of looking at 9/11. You can look at the aspect of it being a false flag event where, you know, the Jews in Israel basically did it and organized it and carried it out and have benefited from it, and they blamed it on Muslims to get this whole fraudulent global war on terror started. And you can also look at the aspect of the psychological aspect of it, you know, the psyop aspect of it, where, you know, basically the whole operation was meant to target our emotions. And they used visual, you know, they used, for instance, the videos of these alleged planes striking the buildings. They used the videos of these alleged people jumping out of the buildings. So they really targeted our emotions and our psychology. And I think this is a big part of 9/11, and this is an aspect that I don't think is necessarily understood properly, or it's a lot of times, you know, as soon as you start talking about the planes not being involved in 9/11, or, you know, some of the videos being faked, a lot of people get really hostile and they want to dismiss it or not even really look into it. I just think that's the wrong aspect, you know, the wrong angle to take. When you're investigating any subject, I mean, that's one of the things that I discovered early on when I started, you know, researching 9/11 and some of these other historical events, is there is a lot of disinfo out there, but you have to have an open mind about everything and really take everything for what it is. And it does take time, and, you know, you got to read a lot and digest a lot of information to get to the point where you can kind of figure out what's real and what's not. And if anybody just takes an honest look at any of the videos that we were shown on 9/11, I mean, it's clear that there's problems with all of them. And in my opinion, they're all fake. They're all fabricated in different ways. I mean, for instance, I'm sure you're familiar with September Clues. I think they do the best job of really kind of breaking this down and explaining it. And, you know, I've seen that movie a few times. I actually watched it, you know, shortly after I got into 9/11, and I kind of didn't really buy it at first, because it's one of these subjects where you really have to investigate it and you really have to do the homework and really sit down and look into them and look into the claims that they're making and really watch some of these videos.
Right.
And if you take an open mind, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, there's multiple problems with all of the videos. They also point out, you know, some of the scripted witnesses and some of the scripted testimony that was immediately put forth on 9/11 to sort of sell this idea of, you know, hijacked airliners and Muslim terrorists and whatnot. And we can get into that, but maybe just to start out, if we could just talk about the planes and just kind of go over some basic facts.
Sure.
Just to dispel the notion of the whole official story. Because I don't think, I think this is probably one of the most misunderstood aspects of it all. And I did a blog post. One of my friends, Dean Hartwell, he's been a 9/11 investigator for a number of years, and he's really taken a look at the alleged planes and passengers, and some of these more complex, detailed aspects of 9/11. And he just released a book. It's his second edition of his book is titled "Planes Without Passengers: The Faked Hijackings of 9/11." And I don't think there's any doubt that the alleged hijackings were faked. They were basically part of the scripted PSYOP of 9/11. One thing that we have to understand is that this whole no planes theory, quote unquote, I think it's a terrible, name to label any sort, any of these theories, because all it really means is that the official airliners that were alleged to have been hijacked and crashed on 9/11 are all either fabricated or, they were basically just decoys for what really happened that day.
Right. And we have, well, there's several things. The Naudé brothers film and the people in the media. You talked about the scripted actor. And then there's also Dan Rather, who said, but he introduced, and I think as a suggestion, that it looked exactly like the controlled demolition that we've all seen. And then later on, you have Larry Silverstein say regarding Building 7, oh, I told the fire department to just pull it. And so you have this other suggestion, and I don't think anything happens by accident. I don't think that these people who have been in the media, who kind of, I believe, were in on the planning, and certainly Silverstein would fall into that category. I don't believe that these people just inadvertently say things without having it really planned to say these things. And so there were several things that were suggested to us on that day, as I believe hypnotic suggestions that we would remember, and that when people started talking about, oh, it was a controlled demolition, then we would all say, yes, well, yes, of course, that's what it was, obviously.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what I mean when there's these planted witnesses and these scripted, sort of media personalities on 9/11. Dan Rather is a perfect example. I mean, there's plenty of others. And I'd really encourage everybody just to watch September Clues, or even go back and just watch some of the footage that you can find on YouTube of some of the news reports. And just really have an open mind about it, and just really analyze what they're saying. And yeah, I think there's no doubt that it's sort of this conditioning, and this sort of the script that they're trying to sell. And it really just plays on our emotions and our psychology, because as soon as we think that, for instance, there really were hijackings, and there really were innocent Americans, that crashed into these buildings, and there really were people that jumped out of the buildings and things like that, it really just totally hits us, and it sort of doesn't allow us to think critically about these things,
And that's a function of a false flag event, is that there are things that happen, and you mentioned this, that it tugs at us emotionally. And of course, every war that has been started with a false flag. And when you kill Americans, who are basically live bait, when you kill Americans, other Americans are going to be outraged, and they're going to call for somebody's blood. People want to blame someone, and of course, they had everybody all lined up—the 19 hijackers with their box cutters, and all of their identity and the history and everything—and so, I mean, it was so obvious.
Isn't it amazing how, yeah, really, it's funny because it is so obviously scripted, and it's a really bad scripted story. I mean, it's not even, it's so ridiculous and crazy that it's amazing that people really can fall for this. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I definitely fell for it. If you're not thinking critically about these things at all times, you're going to be suckered in. But I mean, just going back and really examining everything, it's like, wow, this is such a crazy, outlandish theory. And basically, everything about the official 9/11 conspiracy theory is false, and it's demonstrably false. And for instance, let's just take a look at the official flights that we were told were hijacked and later used as weapons on 9/11 by these alleged, Islamic extremist. And I'm sure you know, and I'm sure a lot of the audience knows, that it was flights 11, 77, 175, and 93. Flights 11 and 175 were the ones that allegedly hit the World Trade Center towers in New York. Flight 77 is the flight that allegedly crashed into the Pentagon. And then Flight 93 was the one that was heroically overtaken by the passengers and ended up crashing in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which they made a movie out of. And I mean, it's so clear that this is a scripted, staged Hollywood-style psyop.
Sure, it's like War of the World of the Worlds, and it worked then, and it certainly has worked very well this last time.
Exactly, yeah. So really, I mean, the whole no planes theory, all it basically means is that these official flights were either fabricated or were just used as decoys on 9/11. None of it's actually true. And this is something that Dean goes through in this book quite nicely. And Dean is one of many sources for this. But he highlights the fact that even the official government records, for instance, the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, which is basically a log of all the flights that go, all the commercial flights that take off and land every day in America. Flights 11 and 77 were never even officially scheduled to fly on 9/11, according to these records. And additionally, flights 93 and 175, they were not even deregistered as active commercial airliners until September 28th, 2005. Now,
Right now,
this is 4 years, right? So it's 4 years after 9/11, after these airliners were allegedly hijacked and crashed and destroyed. And they're according to the government's own records, they're still in the air operating as commercial airliners. So,
amazing. But the average person isn't going to know that.
well, sure, exactly, and that's why a lot of these, this whole stuff with the planes is really kind of complex. And if you don't know these details, it's kind of easy just to dismiss it. But once you take into consideration that even the government's own records, fully refutes the official government story, you have to understand that there's something going on here. And so not only that, I mean, and this is th these are some other angles that that Dean Hartwell gets into in his book. He cites well-known 9/11 researchers like Ray Griffin and A.K. Dewdney. I'm not sure A.K. Dewdney's background. I believe he's a Canadian professor, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, both of these researchers have looked into the alleged phone calls, because if you remember, a big part of the official story was that some of the passengers on these hijacked airliners called their relatives and were trying to make phone calls to the ground and let everybody know about the hijackings. And they're clearly false. I mean, they're all fabricated. It's not even possible to make a call from a cell phone or even an airliner phone on 9/11. I mean, this technology was just simply not available. So all these phone calls are
And
fabricated.
the wording, like that one gentleman who called his mother and said, "This is I can't remember his name, but he was on a flight
I think
93,
it's Mark
or
Bain.
the one that landed in Pennsylvania, and he said, "Hi, this is so and so, your son." I mean,
I believe you're referring to Mark Bingham. Yeah.
yes,
Yeah,
"Hi,
exactly.
this is Mark Bingham, your son."
Right.
I
Now,
mean, that's
who
really
would say, I
funny.
mean, exactly. It is, I mean, it really is funny. I mean, I hate to like downplay the situation, but it's just so ridiculous and so absurd that it is funny. I mean, we're supposed to believe that this guy's on a hijacked airliner and he's calling his mom. "Hi, mom, this is Mark Bingham." I mean, who would ever do that? Who would ever call their mother and tell them, would I call my mom and say, "Hi, mom, this is John Friend"? It
Right.
doesn't make.
And then there was Barbara Olson who called her husband Ted, and it's just not possible. And the other thing that's very interesting, after her alleged death, he married someone that looks very, very similar to Barbara Olson.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting. That's a detail that I've heard that, but I haven't really investigated it too much. And what's also funny is if you go on YouTube and just type in, Ted Olson interviewed, I believe he was on Larry King Live. I mean, his story is changing from different interviews that he's doing. I mean, the guy is clearly, involved in this psyop, and he was probably given a script, and you know he may have deviated a bit from it, but I mean it's clear that this is a scripted aspect of 9/11 to sell the idea to the public of you know these Islamic terrorists hijacking these airliners, which is ridiculous in itself. I mean, you can't
Right.
even get into a cockpit, I mean, to take over an airliner. And we all know all the, you know, the alleged Muslim terrorists, hijackers, who were really just patsies with stolen identities or maybe even potentially made up personality, you know, made up individuals who really,
Sure.
I mean, that's an idea that I'm willing to consider at this point. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And
Also,
pretty
get
alive after 9/11.
with Barbara Olson and some of the other people on the flights, and none of the planes were full up. I mean, they were very low passenger count, and many of the people were actually employed by the government in some capacity.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. And one of the things that that Dean points out in this book that I'm mentioning, he talks about how the technology to basically morph individuals' voices was, I mean, this is technology that's been around for a while now. And I mean, it was definitely around on 9/11. And he points out that Israel was one of the leaders in developing this technology, and we know for a fact that Israel is up to their eyeballs in 9/11. I mean, they basically did the whole thing. So I mean, this is lending further, you know, proof of that. But I mean, this sort of stuff is definitely going on 9/11. I mean, we know that there were scripted witnesses, and a lot of this stuff is just basically fabricated psychological operations. And you know, it just sort of fits together if you take a look at it.
Indeed.
So basically, the point I'm trying to make is that all the phone calls are fake. You know, they're all part of this psyop of 9/11. And then another source that Dean cites in his book is Elias Davidson, who I believe is either a Danish or a Norwegian scholar or academic. And he's written a very detailed article that basically shows that the United States government has never been able to prove that any Muslim extremists hijacked any airliners on 9/11. So I mean, he goes through this and documents everything, you know, meticulously, and it's a really well-written report. And basically, we were just told by the government what happened. You know, nobody, of course, the media didn't ask any questions because they're involved in it. They have their script ready to go. So
Right.
we were just given this story, and you know, that was it. That was what we were supposed to believe happened on 9/11.
Right, as evidenced by the BBC lady who was announcing the collapse of Building 7 20 minutes before it happened. That certainly is indication that they knew it was coming down even in England.
Right, yeah, it's just another aspect of this being an, you know, a scripted event. And another thing that Dean talks about is he makes the point, and this is where it gets kind of, you know, even more controversial, is when you get into the alleged passengers and even the victims. And Dean points out that if all these flights are basically fraudulent and, you know, there really were no hijackings, well, what's the deal with the passengers? What happened to the passengers, or who were the passengers? And he makes a pretty good case that all of the alleged passengers were either government insiders involved in the conspiracy, which you've already alluded to, or they were either manufactured individuals sold to the public as victims. And it's funny, and we can talk about this in a minute, but I'm sure you're familiar with Operation Northwoods, which was the false flag event meant to get the United States to attack Cuba. Deanna?
I muted myself to take a drink of water and forgot to turn back on.
Oh, it's okay.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Northwoods and the people behind it, and it got a thumbs down from President Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that's pretty controversial, but I mean they've been talking about, you know, faking victims and putting it in the media to get the public on with their agenda, going all the way back to Operation Northwoods. And this is something that Dean doesn't bring in the whole Operation Northwoods aspect, but he's basically suggesting that either the passengers were involved in the conspiracy in some fashion, or they were manufactured individuals sold to the public as victims.
I agree with
And
that completely.
yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. And also, another aspect to this, September Clues has done a full report about the alleged victims, and they call it, let me see here, I have it listed right here. It's called the VicSim Report, Who Really Died on 9/11. And they basically, and this is something that, I'm still trying to work out and figure out exactly all the details. But basically, they're alleging that many of the victims, or all of the victims, actually, in fact, were basically simulated. And they used, Photoshop and basically just manufactured all these victims to sell to the public. And it sounds far-fetched, but I mean, who do we really know that died on 9/11? I mean, can anybody point to an individual that we can prove actually died? And I don't know if I can answer that. And I'm not saying that nobody died on 9/11. I'm just saying we should be skeptical about all these victims that are paraded in front of the public.
Are you talking about the people in the planes or the people in the buildings? I
Well,
think we need to make a distinction between those two.
exactly. And okay, that's a very good point. Now, what Dean's book, he basically is talking about the passengers in the planes,
Okay.
and he's saying that they're either government insiders or they're manufacturers. And now September Clues does a more, they analyze all of the victims that were said to have died, and they're if I remember correctly, a lot of their sources are official government sources, like the CNN, for instance, the CNN memorial. The CNN website had a memorial of all the alleged victims that died on 9/11.
Oh yes.
And they go through, and I know you've had Phil Jahan on your show of Let's Roll Forums. Now, I think their research, September Clues research, and some others, I mean, they basically do a good job of going through all these alleged victims. And not only that, but I mean, they go through some of the videos and some of these other PSYOP aspects of 9/11. And we can't just ignore this evidence. I mean, this is not made up. This is not disinfo. This is well sourced. They're using the CNN memorial to go through all these alleged victims and finding all sorts of problems with these alleged victims.
Now,
And
what I've done, I look at everybody's research, and I draw my own conclusions. I check their sources to see what their sources say, whether they line up. Sometimes people use a source and they misquote it, and then when you go back and reread it or look at it and draw some other conclusions, and you think, gosh, it kind of makes me skeptical of what else they have goofed up on. But yes, I do believe in looking. I believe in looking at both sides of any issue, and certainly I've looked at a lot of these films and have for a long time. I've also studied the asbestos court case. Another film that I think is good is Missing Links. I mean, there's just so very many things to evaluate. The Naudé brothers film was also very interesting, and there's a gentleman that lives in Scotland that went through that. I mean, he spent hours, days, months. It became his life to evaluate the Naudé brothers film. And he wrote an extensive report with pictures and everything that you could think of. And I published it on my website. In fact, it's still there if you want to Google Spingola, comma, Naudé. And the last time that he updated it on my site was 2007. But he has a lot of information there. And so I think that you need to go through all this stuff kind of with a fine-tooth comb and then evaluate it and come to your own, draw your own conclusions from those things. But what we do know is that it definitely was not what the government said it was. The biggest conspiracy theory is the one that the government promotes, produces.
Yeah. I mean, the most outrageous, unbelievable conspiracy theory is the official government conspiracy theory. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
And I have read. Now, what's this gentleman's name? Leslie Raphael, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, I've read that, and it's great. I mean, and he now he's just analyzing, because first off, we have to understand that the only footage that we have of the first alleged airliner hitting the World Trade Center towers, which I believe was Flight 11. Was the Naudé film.
Yes. So
And
it's important to look at that.
there's no doubt that it's faked. I mean, there's no doubt if you look at it. And he does a good job of going through and pointing out all the, for instance, I mean, how many things would have to line up perfectly for them to be in that position at the right time to film that?
Yeah, to have the street closed down, to have no traffic on a day where there would have been very high traffic. I mean, they had to put he had to be in the exact spot to do this film. I mean, it was just so staged.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely was staged, and I think it's a part of this. I think they were definitely a part of this whole conspiracy. But not only that, if you actually look at their video, it doesn't even show a plane crashing into the building. It looks like a little dot, basically crashing into the building. It definitely does not look like a Boeing 767, which is what Flight 11 was, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's the thing. All these videos are just so fraudulent, and if you just look at them and just with a critical eye and just sort of, maybe having the idea that there's something wrong with these videos, and then if you look at them, it's clear. I mean, an honest person will come to this conclusion, I think.
Right. And then I also believe that the truth movement was in place. People were already in place before the event occurred, because the government, it's like Lenin said, we like to control both sides of any issue, like just like they control both sides, both the part, both candidates in the presidential election. They decide who's going to be running, and then they control both sides. And just so, they wanted to be sure to control the truth movement when there would be skeptical people who would say, I don't believe that. And so they would have people already in place who would come up with all these various theories and whatnot. And these people, some of these people have actually been truthers in other kinds of events and played a part, writing books and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. I mean, I think the evidence for that is pretty overwhelming. If you look at for instance, the 9/11 documentary that woke me up, or at least it was the first one I saw, which is one of the first ones out there, was this Loose Change documentary. And I mean, if you look at the Loose Change documentary, it basically promotes the idea of hijackings. It promotes the idea of, crashes actually happening, and basically kind of the official story. I mean, they definitely bring up points that need to be talked about and whatnot, and they sort of point you in the right direction that this maybe was an inside job. But yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. And if you look at the sort of quote unquote mainstream 9/11 truth community, nobody wants to talk about the obvious Israeli role or the Jewish role in general. No,
Right.
nobody wants to talk about the no planes aspect and the video fakery aspect. I mean, these are taboo subjects.
Sure.
And the excuse you always get is, well, we won't be able to get the public on board if we talk about these things. They'll think we're crazy. They'll think we're anti-Semitic. And it's so silly. But I mean, we really have to grow up. And it's just absurd that they're
But
still saying.
that's why they're in place. I mean, the Loose Change Boys, I met them at a conference in 2007 in California. And as I think back to this conference, I think everybody there probably was a part of the setup, part of the frame-up, part of the staged truth movement. And of course, they are all Jewish, very young, very skilled, very Jewish, and very well-funded. They didn't just come up with this. The story is that they just came up with it, on their laptop, and it's as stupid as Bill Gates coming up with all of his stuff in his garage. That's totally ridiculous.
Exactly. And I've been going through and listening to some audio clips of guys like Jason Burmess and some of these guys that were involved. And if you, for instance, if you were to call in to either Alex Jones or Jason Burmess's show and for instance bring up the obvious and well documented Israeli angle to 9/11, or if you were to bring up the video fakery, no planes aspect, he immediately, I mean, he'll go crazy on you, totally bash you, totally dismiss what you're saying, call you crazy, call you, a loser, all these sorts of things. And he will not address any of the points.
Right.
So it's clear that they're gatekeeping. It's clear they're trying to steer the direction in a certain scripted way. I mean, they want to talk about how, Bush did it and, Cheney did it. And it's so obvious that the Jews control Bush and Cheney and Obama and our entire government and media that, this is what they're gatekeeping. They don't want to talk about these, the fundamental, they don't want to go to the heart of the matter,
Well,
That's
that way you never you can never actually find out who did it. You can't, yeah, exactly. And they're gatekeeping, just like they have done with every other event. They blame somebody else and then cover the real culprits.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the most frustrating part is like, for instance, when I first, started getting into this, I did listen to Alex Jones for, oh gosh, it must have been at least 5 or 6 months. And the whole time I'm just thinking like, okay, obviously there's a conspiracy, obviously things are wrong and, things are going in the wrong direction, but I mean, I was so confused. It's like who's doing it? Who's behind it? And you never pinpoint it. And then you finally realize, oh my gosh, it's the Jews the entire time. It's been the Jews. And then once you come to that realization, everything clicks and it's so obvious at that point once you kind of get yourself over that hurdle. And they never will get you over that hurdle. In fact, they will keep you from getting over that hurdle if you don't think for yourself and if you don't, sort of allow yourself to get over this mental block because I mean it is, they do everything they can to keep us from analyze. I mean, that's the one group you cannot talk about, the one group you cannot criticize, the one group you can't even investigate, You can't even honestly investigate their history or their beliefs, for instance, if you look at the Talmud. I mean, we always want to talk about, well, not we, but the mainstream is always talking about Islam and how the Quran is this evil book. Well, look at the Talmud. I mean, the Talmud is the most despicable book, on the face of the earth, and you won't even hear a single word of it. And of course, obviously the media is controlled by the Jews, so of course they're not going to talk about it. But I mean, these are the things that guys like Jason Burmess and Alex Jones and some of these other gatekeepers will never allow you to get to that level of understanding.
Right. And it yes, very deliberate, so deliberately so. And that's why they're positioned where they're positioned. And many of them became a part of the so-called truth movement in the 90s. I mean, if you look back and you think, well, when did Rush Limbaugh, become part of the media, part of the so-called alternative media? And then you realize that, oh, he's just a very small part of it. And what they have tried to say is, oh yes, Fox News, that's fair and balanced, and Rush Limbaugh, and some of the other people, Sean Hannity, oh, they're the alternative media. Ha! They're Jewish owned lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And it's so obvious once you take a look at it. So,
Yeah, indeed.
there was a couple other points that we could talk about with this whole video fakery, no plane stuff.
Sure.
And one of the things that if whenever you bring up the fact that, maybe there really weren't any planes on 9/11, especially in New York. I mean, I think most people kind of understand that there was definitely no large Boeing 757 that crashed at the Pentagon. I mean, I think that's pretty well established at this point. And
I
also in
don't
Shanghai.
know because I wasn't there. I've heard April Gallup talk about she was there, she was in the building. We know that something had occurred, but I wasn't there. You weren't there, and we are just going by what other people have said. And I don't know. I was it a missile? Was it a plane? Was it bombs inside the building? Now with part of the like the Loose Change film, they showed a very, very small hole to make us believe that there was no plane there. And then you also have to consider, they also showed this pristine grass that, oh, it couldn't have been a plane. And yet when you see other films, it shows a completely different scenario. So I really have not studied the Pentagon issue a great deal. I've mainly considered the towers.
Sure. Yeah, no, I understand, and you're right. I mean, we definitely, like you said, I wasn't there, you weren't there, how do we really know?
And of course, the CIA picked up all the videos that were around the area.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think my main point is just that we know for sure, Flight 77 didn't crash into the Pentagon like the official, excuse me, like the official story alleges.
Right.
But with, I mean, just with the whole, with what happened in New York, let's just focus on what happened in New York. Because as soon as you start talking about this, the first argument that the other side will come back at you with is, well, what about all the witnesses that saw the planes in New York? What
But
about all the, what about all the people that they said that, for instance, I've talked to people, in real life, and they've been like, well, I have a friend who was in New York and they saw it.
right.
So, and I'm not even necessarily talking about this with people, in public, unless I, sort of know that, they know what's up with 9/11. But for instance, that's what people will say. I mean, just
Well,
out there.
John, what people will say, well, I saw it. Well, everybody saw it because we were all watching TV. And so you have this predominance of people who think they saw it, but who actually really saw it. I mean, how many
Yeah.
people were actually there that actually saw it? Because who's going around New York looking up? Honestly.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, you're totally right. And there's actually been a study done on this. Andrew Johnson, who I know you've had on your program before.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did a report, and I have this linked on my blog. It's titled Analysis of New York City First Responder Accounts of New York Fire Department and Emergency Man, I think it's Emergency Management System personnel or EMS personnel on that. And he basically just compiled a bunch of reports of some of these firefighters and emergency people of what they saw, and he basically concludes that their accounts are all over the place. Some people said that they saw, a large Boeing 767 crash. Some people said they saw a small plane. Some people said that they saw what they thought was maybe a missile. Some people said that they didn't see anything and they just heard an explosion. So, I mean, the eyewitness testimony is all over the place. And also, if you look at September Clues, for instance, the media, the people in the studio on 9/11 were basically introducing this idea of a plane hitting the building.
Exactly. It was
Introducing.
suggestion. It
Exactly.
was group hypnosis. But how many people actually did? Because when you're in a big city, I live in the suburbs of Chicago. When I go downtown, I don't walk around looking up at the Sears Tower.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, so I mean, that's my point is that this whole idea that there were so many people that saw a plane hit the building is really sort of a fallacy because if you actually look at some of the people who said that they saw a plane hit the building, they're either scripted. Some of these media personalities were introducing this idea before anybody even suggested a plane hit the building. They were already on TV ready to promote this idea. And then also on 9/11, a lot of the quote unquote eyewitnesses that were on the ground that were calling in to the media studios, to ABC, to
Yeah,
CNN.
who are these people?
Yeah, these people were all insiders involved in the media. I mean, and September Clues does a good job of going through all this. I mean, I can't think of the people's names off the top of my head, but a lot of them were, basically media insiders, and
Or
they were
Hollywood
promoting.
actors, like that one guy in the baseball cap that said, "Oh yes, I saw one plane go into the North Tower and another plane go into the South Tower. North Tower fell because due to structural inferiority or weakness." And I mean, nobody talks like that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you're talking about what's the guy's name? Is it Mark Walsh?
I'm not sure what his name is. I have it somewhere in my files, but
Yeah, if you you know what, actually, I think they deleted a lot of those off YouTube, but if you do a YouTube search for Harley guy, because he had a Harley, like a Harley shirt on,
Oh, right. Yeah.
and in this scripted Fox News report, the reporter walks up to this guy, and yeah, you're right, he literally rails off the official story on, I mean, literally on 9/11, like 10 minutes after this happened. And it's just so absurd, looking back on it. And this is what I mean by actors, 9/11 actors. This guy was playing a part in a movie. He was playing a part in the psychological operation that was 9/11.
Right.
He was playing his role, and he played it quite well because, I mean, a lot of people believed him. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, Deanna, have you ever heard of Tanya Head?
I'm not, I don't think so.
If anybody does a Google search for, and I've mentioned this on my blog a few times, just do a Google search for Tanya Head, Tania, and then the word, head. She was a woman, she totally fraudulent. This is a totally fraudulent. She ended up leading, 9/11, the 9/11 victims memorial group in New York. And she was completely fraudulent. Her whole entire story was made up. She was another 9/11 actor there to sort of steer, the 9/11 family, quote unquote, family members. And just an incredible story. And I mean, if you, I just did a Google search for her, and
Me too.
one of the first ones that comes up is not as Tanya Head, 9/11 imposter.
Right.
I mean, she was a straight up fraud. Everything what she was saying was her entire story was made up. She said that she was in the building and her husband was in the other building, and her husband ended up dying and she survived, and she had this, heroic, escape, and blah blah blah. It's all a big psyop. It's all a big psyop. Now, how can people who dismiss this stuff, how can you explain somebody like Tanya Head? How can you explain, this aspect of 9/11 with knowing what Tanya Head did, for instance? I mean, she's just one example, but a very prominent example that was actually exposed even by the mainstream media because it was such a blatant, fraudulent story, and in her, everything about her is a fraud. So
Right.
this is what I mean by 9/11, actors. And it's funny too, Deanna, I did a blog post back in April titled Holohoax and 9/11 Actors: Liars and Fraudsters Perpetuate the Big Lies of History. And if you look at the Holocaust, we have all these Holocaust fraudsters,
Sure. It was Mark Walsh. I just did a Google search, and he's a freelancer for Fox News.
Yeah, he was actually, yeah, he was on a Fox show actually. And of course, he just happened to be there right on the scene to explain the official story. And I mean, like I said, the whole September Clues documentary really goes through and shows everybody that all these people that were introducing the idea of a plane hitting the buildings in New York were all media insiders. Almost every single one of them was somehow connected to the mainstream corporate Jewish-owned media. Every single one of them.
Amazing.
And it's funny too because I mean we see this same thing happening with the Holocaust. And even I mean, for instance, this whole idea of video fakery. Look at what happened with the moon hoax, video fakery. I'm not sure if you've looked into the Zapruder film with the JFK assassination. There's
Have not done that, but I've certainly done a lot on the moon landing. Had certain guests on the program that have talked about this, because it needs to be talked about. And it's amazing how many people believe that that actually happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, my point is just that this idea of video fakery and the media scripting events and faking videos to sell an agenda and to sell an event like the moon hoax, like 9/11, this is not that far-fetched because they do this. They've done it throughout history. And
There's another thing too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's another thing that if you think that something has happened, or you think that something is wrong, or you think that you have some kind of terrible disease, My mother used to look in the health books. It was before the internet. And honestly, if you go through a health book, you're going to find something. You're going to find a terrible disease that you have. You just know that you've got this terrible disease, and you actually start having the symptoms of this terrible disease, and you basically talk yourself into thinking that you're very ill, when in fact you're not. And I think that it's a kind of a group hypnosis, for instance, with the BP oil spill. Now, there was a lot of actors associated with that. They kept showing the very, very same film. It was very grainy. And Lennon Honor does a film about this and talks about this quite a lot. And you find that a lot of people down in the Gulf area are very sick. Well, what exactly is making them sick? Is it because they think something has been spilled in the Gulf that is making them sick, so they are sick? Or is it kind of a group herd mentality that if you're supposed to be sick, you're going to start having symptoms? I mean, there are school children who a whole class might come down with something, coughing or something like that, because they hear that there's some sort of a gas leak, when in fact maybe there wasn't, but the whole class seems to be having these symptoms. I don't know whether I'm off base here, but I think it's a possibility. I think that you can talk people into thinking when they are in a traumatized state. You can talk people into thinking that something is happening or has happened to them that it hasn't. You can, in this state, you can get a lot of people thinking that they saw something when in fact all they really did was see it on TV, and or maybe they know somebody who said they saw it. And pretty soon, it's just like the Holocaust. You have all of these witnesses when, in fact, it was basically 12 people who wrote a book, and then, this person knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and they saw the gas chamber, when, in fact, there was no gas chambers that ever existed. And so it's the same thing with the plane or with what's going on here. It's a War of the Worlds syndrome.
Yeah, no, that was very well stated. Yeah, you're totally right. And it just goes to show that, life is 95% psychological, I mean, everything, it's all about, it's all about psychology. It's all about your mindset and where you're at with yourself and are if you're able to use your own brain and think for yourself, or are you gonna let the TV and the Jews tell you how to think? That's what it's all about. And we've got to rediscover this, as a society, as a people, as a world. We have to start thinking for ourselves and stop, believing everything we see on TV and believing everything the government says, or at least being more skeptical about it. I mean, sure, there are some things that, we can that are facts that are stated on TV, for instance, but I mean, we have to be more, we have to be more skeptical, and we have to be not afraid to use our own brains and to think for ourselves,
Right. And this thing with the TV. I mean, people actually, they are in a state when they're not interacting. They are in a state where they are totally receptive to what they are seeing. And people kind of adopt what they see on TV as being real. I mean, we all saw Jurassic Park too, but that doesn't mean that those big dinosaurs exist. Just because we see something on TV doesn't mean that it's reality.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that's the biggest thing. I mean, I talked about this last time that we had a conversation is this the TV is our biggest enemy because I mean, people just they love their TV, they want to sit down and watch their show. Oh, and this was another thing I was going to bring up. I don't know if you noticed. I get the I get a lot of email updates from different news outlets and whatnot. And I just got an email today about how there's a TV series, I think it's on Showtime, called Homeland. And it's a Jewish Israeli television show about the global war on terror. And the main character is this CIA chick, a really attractive lady. And the whole thing is just Jewish global war on terror propaganda. And this is what they do. They use the media to sell everything and to get people to buy into their agenda without ever actually, questioning, like, okay, is there really a threat from Islamic extremists? Is this all made up? And they just use the TV and the media and the quote unquote entertainment complex just to sell these ideas. And it's incredible that people just blindly, absorb this information without even questioning it.
Right.
And it's just and especially since 9/11, we've seen more and more of these quote unquote global war on terror television shows and television shows that just glorify the American military
Oh, it's terrible.
as if the military is fighting to protect our freedom and whatnot, as the military is just genociding millions of people across the globe, which we've done for the past 100 years at least now. I mean, we basically genocided the German people, and it's just incredible what's gone on and how they've been able to use the media to sell it and to make it acceptable, and not only acceptable, but something that people, rejoice for and take pride in, and they're doing something so noble. It's incredible,
Yeah, it's a perfect vehicle for indoctrinating and brainwashing an entire nation all at one time. And it's been very successful. People buy products because of what they're told on television. They take accept vaccines, and they I mean, it's an amazing vehicle for programming an entire country.
Yeah, and the last thing they want is for us to start thinking for ourselves and to maybe pick up and read a book or to go outside and hang out with our neighbors or whatever. They want us sitting there watching that TV and totally being, mindless drones, just, sitting around and not even questioning anything. And that's something that I am never going to do the rest of my life, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully not. I don't see you doing that at all. I don't see you caving into that kind of a situation. But I really appreciate your blog. I appreciate your articles. You do amazing work, and you always are just right on. And you have good examples of people. For instance, in this one article, you have compared Rudolf Höss to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and I mean, you're just right on. I like your examples. I like your stuff. It's good
Well, thank
stuff.
you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I really do appreciate that. And I mean, that's the thing that the more and more I research into this, it's like this same agenda has been going on for years now. It's just been sort of manifested in different ways. And it's just incredible just sitting here watching it unfold and seeing so few people, actually recognizing it, and not only recognizing, but even being interested in it and even being interested in trying to, figure out what's really going on. I think that's the main thing. And, like I said last time, we're not going to be able to do anything until we get enough people to actually, wake up and look into this stuff and think for themselves. I mean, we can only do so much as individuals, and that's all we can do at this point. But I mean, if we're ever going to want to change anything, we need, a small dedicated minority that's willing to take a stand and really figure out what's going on and recognize who the enemy is and recognize, their agenda and what they're doing and their techniques of their agenda and really try to combat it and do something about it. So,
Sure. And also, there's so much disinformation. I mean, there's misinformation and disinformation. And disinformation is very deliberate. And as I mentioned, I do believe that there was a truth movement set up long before the event, and that people were in place. And as I said, some of the people that I met back in 2007 at that truth movement, as I think back, I think, gosh, every single one of those people were characters in position, in place, just to say exactly what they're saying. And I remember the first film that came out, which was also a film to make you go in a certain direction. and the people who were going to be heading the so-called 9/11 truce groups in the various areas in the country. And the fact that, as you said before, the minute you say the J word, you're banned from the list, you're banned from the forum, you're banned from the group, and you're an anti-Semite. So it's and they were put in place just to do exactly that, because the Jews have a very, very lengthy history of terrorism. Very lengthy. They've been doing terrorism beginning a long time ago. I mean, in the mid-1800s in Russia, and the Jews took over the media before 1900. They owned the media.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, for instance, Israel was founded by a group of terrorists, you know? I mean, that
Exactly.
there's no doubt about it if you look at it. And Dina, I don't even know if I told you, but I was going to give like a presentation for the 9/11 Truth Group here in San Diego, and you know, they ended up canceling it on me just because,
Right.
yeah, I mean, this is the type of thing
That
that's like,
means you're right on target, John.
exactly, yeah, I mean, it's like these people that, you know, and it's funny too because they know that, you know, basically Israel did it, but they're still just like, you know, they still use this excuse like, you know, we got to be careful when we talk to people in public, and it's just incredible how cowardly some people are. And I mean, they actually used an excuse. Somebody left a comment on my blog saying they're going to show up in San Diego, and you know, it was just totally ridiculous and just some troll, you know. Actually, that's what made me start censoring all my comments now. I don't let anybody just come on here and comment just because of stuff like that. But they saw that, and that's what their excuse was. But they were looking for an excuse to cancel it anyways. And
Sure.
it's just incredible how cowardly some of these people are.
I mean, that's the whole purpose for the development of the ADL, was to have an organization that would fight against anybody who tried to target them for what all the stuff that they were doing. And certainly they've been doing illegal things in this country for a long time. I mean, they were
Yeah.
led the mafia and blame the Italians. Hey, let's blame the Italians for all this crime. Well, it wasn't the Italians. The Italians were just the front men. You know, they were just the people that got blamed for it. But it was actually the Jews that led the mafia, that were into sex trafficking and narcotics and black marketing and the liquor. I don't drink,
Oh
so
yeah,
I
no.
never know what to call
No,
What to
yeah,
call
totally.
it.
I mean, everything that, you know, the Jews either project their crimes onto their enemies or, you know, totally try to discredit and, you know, marginalize anybody that says otherwise or points out, you know, who the
Sure.
true culprit is.
Yeah, it's a trick they always
And it's
use.
just.
Did we lose you?
Oh no, I'm still here. I don't know if that's my connection or yours.
It must be EH, electrical harassing. One of my friends no, it's true. When if you're on a radio program and it seems to blank out and you say, "Oh gosh, we're having trouble with the Skype." No. It's a deliberate kind of a thing, and we need to be talking about this because it actually does happen. And people lose their internet connection when they're talking about particular things. And you think, oh, it's just an accident, or it's just, temporary kind of a thing. Oh, it must be the board op doesn't know what he's doing. No, it's EH, electrical harassing. Now, I'm going to have a lady on the program to talk about it.
That would definitely not surprise me. And right as you're saying that, I'm losing you, and my internet connection is starting to kind of go in and out too.
Maybe it's a subject content.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you are right though, for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, it's been wonderful chatting with you as always, and I know you have a family that you need to visit with, as you probably just got home from work. I am 2 hours ahead of you. I am already in my jammies. So I get up really early. So,
Excellent. Well, yeah, that it's been nice chatting with you as well, and I appreciate the invite. And yeah, keep on doing your show. I love listening. I'm really glad that you're starting to have Rodney Martin on every Friday now. That's really cool.
Oh,
I
I love that guy. He is such a scholar.
Yeah.
Wonderful man.
I don't know if he's replaced Veronica or what, but I know you did a special with Veronica, but hopefully she'll be around to do some programs soon too.
Yes, her work schedule just prohibits her from doing the weekly specials with me, but she does want, we'll have her on regularly, it just not as often.
Oh, okay.
Because of her work schedule, and she's also has publishing deadlines that she's meeting, so, but yep, she's still in the loop.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear.
Well, thank you so much, and we will talk again really soon.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.